Hello, I'm Hope McMath, director of the Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens in Jacksonville, Florida. If this is your first time listening, you can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. It's easy to find. Just search Kummer Museum in the iTunes store. You can also find a link to all podcasts on our blog at blog.kummer.org/podcast. Welcome to the Kummer Garden Tour. We will soon be joined by Holly Karras, my good friend and colleague, who is also the curator of the museum. Before we begin, just a few instructions. We'll be starting our tour in the upper tier near the colonnade. This is also referred to as stop number one on the printed map, which you can pick up inside the museum. As we move through the garden tour, we will be directing you to various stops. If you need any time to linger, just press pause. So now, let us begin. We're going to start with just a little taste of the history of the Kummer. The Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens is the culmination, really, of the civic, social, and business involvement of a remarkable family. Holly, what can you tell us about these Kummer family members?
The Kummer family actually moved to Jacksonville from Michigan in the late 1890s. They were involved in the lumber industry, and in fact, at the turn of the last century, they were the largest employers in the state and also the state's largest private landowners. Museum founders Arthur and Nina Kummer met at the University of Michigan and moved to Jacksonville shortly after their marriage. They built their large Tudor-style home on the Kummer family compound, where they lived with Arthur's parents and his brother and sister-in-law. Unfortunately, all the Kummer homes were destroyed, but the gardens the family created are an important part of the museum today. One of the most popular places in the garden is under this magnificent oak tree. Press pause now and move towards the Kummer oak tree. Stop number two.
Holly, you are so right when you say that this is a popular spot. This oak really is the centerpiece of the Kummer Gardens. This oak is estimated to be between 175 and 200 years old and has an impressive spread of over 150 feet. We try to take really good care of this tree, and one example of that is the fact that the gallery nearest this oak tree is built upon pilings to protect the tree's root system. Live oaks are a long-lived native tree in the southern United States with spreading, heavy limbs. Old leaves are shed in the spring before new growth emerges. As the Kummer oak does, many live oaks of the South have limbs that are often draped with Spanish moss. The oak is located next to another very popular feature in our gardens, a sculpture of Diana of the Hunt. Press pause now and walk towards the sculpture of Diana, stop number three.
This statue wasn't even a part of the gardens during the Kummer's lifetime, but was actually a gift from the artist to help celebrate the opening of the museum in 1961. Sculptor Anna Hyatt Huntington was a proponent of sculpture gardens. She and her husband Archer Huntington actually created Brook Green Gardens in South Carolina.
Diana really is a perfect figure for a garden setting. She was the Roman goddess of women and the patroness of the hunt, represented here by her hunting dog and bow. Her role as earthbound huntress is complemented by her identity as the goddess of the moon, and Diana's placement in the Kummer Gardens bridges these earthly and heavenly roles. Balanced atop an earthly globe, the lithe figure of the goddess stretches upward after shooting an arrow towards her celestial attribute, the moon. There were a lot of sculptural elements in the garden during Nina's time, and we can find a few of those in the tea garden.
Press pause now and proceed to the farthest path on your right towards the tea garden, stop number four. The tea garden was the site of many of Nina's afternoon tea parties. It's also where she shared her gardening expertise with friends, and in fact, those gatherings evolved into the first meeting of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs in 1922. In the tea garden, there are two barrel chairs, which originally belonged to Nina's mother-in-law, Ada, who lived just to the north of the property. From the tea garden, we can also see some of the other garden ornaments Arthur and Nina collected, like the cast concrete bird baths turned into planters, the mosaic pool, and the peacock fountain underneath the wisteria arbor on the southern wall of the property. All of these objects were made by Philadelphia craftsman William Mercer, whose works are found throughout the Kummer Gardens. Press pause now and walk down the stairs into the English garden, Stop number 5.
From this vantage point, you also get a great look at one of Nina's favorite plants, the azalea. Azaleas are often referred to as the royalty of the garden. These evergreen shrubs bloom in spring, and those blooms last for 1 to 2 weeks. These bushes require acidic, well-drained soil and partial sun or filtered shade. In 1925, Nina attended a lecture by Harold Hume on the beauty of azaleas. Hume is remembered as one of the South's leading horticulturalists and for his beautiful azalea hybrids. The lecture that she attended sparked her interest in azaleas and led her to travel to Charleston, South Carolina to see some very special azalea gardens. Azaleas then became her passion, and she replanted much of her English garden with them. Hume advised her on the particular azaleas that would thrive in her garden. She also began to share her newfound enthusiasm with her peers in garden club talks and articles. And I can tell you, there is nothing more glorious than seeing these azaleas in bloom in the spring. Press pause now and walk towards the wisteria arbor, which is stop number 6.
The wisteria arbor is one of my favorite places in the gardens. It was actually added to the garden in 1910 when Arthur and Nina decided they wanted to make some changes to their property. They looked to the Philadelphia nurseryman Thomas Meehan and Sons, who laid out the basic framework of the garden we still see today. Notations on Meehan's plan indicates that Nina first called this area the wisteria garden, then the azalea garden, but of course today it's known as the English garden. Press pause now and walk down the pathway along the river to stop number 7.
You are currently looking at the magnificent St. John's River as seen from the Cummer Gardens. Running 310 miles, the longest river in Florida, it starts in marshes that are southwest of Cape Canaveral, and it flows north to Jacksonville, emptying into the Atlantic Ocean. The St. John's, like many Florida rivers, was altered to make way for agriculture and residential centers. It suffered severe pollution and human interference that has diminished the natural order of life in and around the river. Restoration efforts are underway for the basins around the St. John's. The Cummer remains a dedicated partner with organizations like the St. John's River Keeper by promoting a river-friendly lifestyle. I think it is extraordinary to have these historic gardens and the museum located on the banks of this beautiful river, and we certainly have an intense interest in preserving this important natural resource.
We should also remember that the St. John's has been a source of inspiration for countless artists throughout the year. Be sure to go inside and explore the museum to see some of these magnificent works. Press pause now, turn away from the water, and face the lower lawn. Stop number 8. The lower lawn was originally a putting green, which was a gift from Nina to her husband. It's thought to be one of the first private putting greens in Florida, possibly constructed during the first decade of the 20th century. The lower lawn was also the site of many charitable events during the Cummers' lifetime. Their gardens were often the site of carnivals, afternoon teas, and receptions for the Jacksonville community, even including a performance of the ballet Sleeping Beauty. Press pause now and continue along the pathway towards the Italian garden, stop number 9.
In 1930, Arthur and Nina Cummer took a trip to Italy where they visited the Villa Gambaraia. Their trip had provided Nina with much food for thought. That, along with her love of Italian ornaments, sparked the idea of creating these beautiful Italian gardens. The presence of water is an important part of traditional Italian garden design and is integrated into the Cummer Gardens with the inclusion of the three-tiered fountain, which was shipped by boat to the States from Italy. The original fountain was built from a very porous stone that absorbed a lot of water over the years and began to crumble and crack. An exact replica was created in 2001 from a stronger, less porous marble to prevent deterioration. Today, this is a favorite spot for brides as they get married, for photographers, and for artists. Press pause now and walk up the pathway on the left side of the Italian gardens towards the oak tree. The gargoyle is located on your left and is stop number 10.
The gargoyle on the pedestal was acquired for the gardens in 1981 from a building slated for demolition in New York City. The gargoyle symbol dates back to Greek and Roman times and is a common feature in medieval churches in the Middle Ages of France. They often projected from the eaves of buildings to drain off rainwater. Near the gargoyle, sitting at the foot of the stairs, is a pink marble lion that's the biggest of many lion sculptures and decorations you can see on benches and on chairs throughout the gardens. It's possible that lions were chosen for their association with courage and nobility, but Mrs. Cummer may have also selected them as a complement to her English Tudor-style home. Press pause now. Continue down the path towards the museum. Veer to your right and go up the first flight of steps, stopping and turning around to look back towards the river. This is stop number 11, the Italian Garden.
The Italian Garden was designed in 1931 by preeminent landscape architect Ellen Biddle Shipman. Shipman's clients included the Fords, the Astors, and countless other captains of American industry. She was renowned for her artistic planting style, founded on years of hands-on gardening and horticultural expertise. Like Nina, Shipman had also just returned from a trip to Italy, where she visited the Villa Gambaraia. The Italian Garden proved to be a marriage of Ellen Shipman's skillful plan and Nina Cummer's horticultural knowledge and ingenuity. Shipman's name slipped into obscurity only to resurface in 1998 when a set of plans and blueprints was discovered in the designer's archives at Cornell University. This discovery spearheaded a full-scale rehabilitation of the gardens that you're looking at today.
Welcome to the newly renovated Olmsted Garden. I'm Lynn Norris, Director of Education at the Cummer. After the death of Ada Cummer in 1929, her sons divided her property between them. In 1931, Nina Cummer began work with Ellen Biddle Shipman on the Italian Garden on some of this land. Clara Cummer hired the Olmsted Brothers firm to integrate the remaining garden acquired from Ada Cummer's estate. Although much of this work was destroyed by later construction, the garden you see is the last remaining fragment. The Cummer repurchased the land in 1992 with the vision of restoring it. And in April 2013, it opened to the public. For her garden, Clara Cummer hired the firm and its partner, William Lyman Phillips. Phillips had worked on major projects such as the Boston Common, as well as other significant public and private gardens in Florida, including the Fairchild Tropical Garden in Coral Gables. Clara Cummer didn't want a formal garden. She wrote, "For to me, they're more important for living than for show. The gardens are places where children have played and dogs have frisked. That kind of enjoyment is more meaningful than the contemplation of formal gardens." From where you stand, if you look from right to left, from the wall of the Italian garden to the statue of Mercury between the straight brick paths, this was Ada's original garden, most probably still in the original design that O.C. Simons laid out in the first campus plan. The pergola and the statue of Mercury placed between the paths are also original to the garden. Mercury was returned to the Cummer for the restored garden's opening. The area to the far left is the remaining fragment of William Lyman Phillips' design. With its central gathering space, it is a distinctive Olmsted design, using principles that go back to the firm's founder, Frederick Law Olmsted. Olmsted believed that nature was essential to a person's well-being, and parks and gardens are where for everyone to enjoy. He capitalized on the American sense of open space that could be revealed and discovered, wandering curvilinear paths, and where there was a sense of solitude, there was always space for public gathering and community. In the restored garden, there are native Florida plants that were original plantings, such as the palms and the coontes, mixed with showier Florida-friendly ornamental shrubs, like azaleas, camellias, and hydrangeas, that the Cummer family loved. As part of the Jacksonville waterfront community, the Cummer continues to garden with organic principles so that the Cummer gardens can be sustained into the future for the community, as the Cummers intended. This concludes your garden tour. Please take time to wander and enjoy the gardens at your own pace.